All right. Good morning, Grace Point. So glad to see you guys up and about and greeting everyone, as Gary mentioned. Glad that those of you who are online, that you're online watching, I'm glad that you could come. Today's going to be a little different than normal. My name is Kyle Corinne. I'm normally the lead pastor, the one who is speaking up here. But today I'm not going to be speaking. I just want to actually introduce some people to you today. So a couple things. We have Ken and Lisa Zook who are coming. They have been missionaries of ours now for 21 years. As Gary was talking about, whatever you have, bring it. I think about this about a life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that you just bring what you have, right? And as they're going to come up, they're going to tell you about what the Lord allowed them. I'm not praising them that they're so great or whatever, but what the Lord allowed them to bring and how it really changed the lives of a number of people. So if this is your first time here, if you haven't been here for a long time, you haven't been back a little while, you should just know some things about what we try to do here. Our mission is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. We're hoping to help you grow a relationship with Jesus. So we're hoping to inspire you to follow Him. I think today when Ken and Lisa get up here, they're going to tell you some stories and some things that have happened in their lives that will help. But for those of you who are watching online, something that you ought to know, just because of the sensitivity of some of the names and some of the pictures, we're not going to be showing the slides to you online, so you're not going to see them. You're going to see Ken and Lisa. And at the end, there's going to be a four-minute, like a video. And unfortunately, you're not going to get to see that. You're just going to be watching, you know, the blank stage or whatever. Then we'll close in prayer. But just letting you know, because we want to care about those people who live in the farthermost parts of the world who are trying to follow Jesus, and yet people could use things like this video as a tool to try to harm them or to stop the work that's going on. And we don't want to do that. We want to encourage them, right? So that's why we're doing what we are doing. But I would say this. I don't know what I'm going to say here. I was going to say something that I thought maybe I shouldn't say that. There are some people who are missionaries who have come and they've reported, and I'm glad that they are doing it. I'm glad to support them. But I would just say that I especially like it when Ken and Lisa come back and they talk about some of the things that are going on in life, because this is sort of the real deal. They're in the trenches. They're doing what we're all called to be doing. They're lifestyle discipleship, mentoring, doing life with people, trying to share what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I hope that, I was listening to them. I was just so encouraged the first service. I hope that you guys are all encouraged with them coming up as well. But would you guys give a warm welcome for Ken as we bring Ken up, and then Lisa will come up in just a bit. Would you guys welcome him? And I'd like to pray for you again. You get two prayers. You get the ending prayer too.
Yeah,
you know.
I need it.
Yeah, well, we all do, right? So you can pray for me after. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to dedicate this time back to you. You are the Lord who gives us. We sing. You give us every breath. You give us our strength. You have, for those of us who are followers of Christ, you have impacted us with the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The stone has been rolled away to show us the empty tomb, that you have done it, and I thank you so much for that and the changes that brings to our life of forgiveness and reconciliation and no condemnation, that we have a forever hope laid up for us in heaven, and this is eternity, that there is nothing that might come against us that you won't work for good one day. And that can't be taken away. So I thank you for the work that you have done. And it's all about you. It's not about us. But I pray for Ken and I pray for Lisa as they get up and they share some of their heart, some of the bittersweet stuff that has kind of gone on as they are really we're celebrating 21 years of ministry, and that this chapter, at least, is coming to a close. And I pray that as they share that our hearts would be knit to them and we would encourage them And I just ask for you to speak through them to us, to make us better disciples. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Kyle. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here with you again, although very unexpected for us to be here. We have a trend of that, I guess, in our life. I don't think I'm different or that we're unique in this, but when we come as global workers, missionaries, whatever word you want to use, I prefer the word slave, but it doesn't sound too great in our culture. But we are slaves of Christ, and we just pour ourselves out for God and for His glory, and we are very much broken people. We're broken. So if Pastor Kyle prays for me once, twice, three times, keep it going, because we're broken people. But we are servants who go with the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ to pour that out to other people, to declare it, to proclaim it. And we've been allowed to do that by God's grace. You see up there, only by grace. That's kind of been our tagline for 21 years. We do that by grace. Yes, we're saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ, but we also walk this life. We serve Christ by the grace that He gives us, this sustaining grace, strength, as we serve Him and we depend on Him each and every day. So we have been allowed to do that for 21 years over in mostly the context of Russia. If you don't know that. But if you also don't know, our chapter of that time is coming to a close. We had an unexpected change. I'll just say it was a change that we couldn't stand with according to scriptures in our organization. So we are resigning at the end of the year and waiting on God for what comes next. But very unexpected. And we're just kind of thrown into this transition time once again. But we are here to celebrate. Pastor Kyle used this very apt word, bittersweet. Yes, it's sweet to be with you again and to acknowledge what we have done through the Lord's strength and power together with Grace Point. But it's also bitter for us. We come with heavy hearts. We've been doing this for several weeks already. Every week we're in a different church. We have a few more to go as we do this, a little bit of a celebration with people, thanking them. But it is heavy for us. This is totally unexpected. We had other dreams, other things that we're going to share a little bit later on that just kind of ended again. But thank you for standing with us, loving us, caring for us, praying for us, giving so that we can all together reach the world. In the first service, Pastor Kyle said, I don't know if this is your mission statement, but to elevate Jesus right to the world around us. We want to elevate Him now. I would rather be down there or out in the hallway, in fact, but don't elevate us. Let this sharing time really elevate Christ, because this is what it's all about, is putting Him on display. He does it better than we do, but He tells us to go and to preach His word and to make disciples. And so may the name of Christ be elevated here this morning as we celebrate what He's allowed all of us to do together, making disciples, strengthening the church, planting churches, and seeing people come to His glory of knowing Christ, walking with Him deeper. Well, as you know, our road has not been easy, and I don't think we expected it to be easy, but I wouldn't trade any of it. Any of the brokenness, any of the lostness, any of the loss and grief and pain, I wouldn't trade any of it for both those that we've walked through those things with, but also for our own path, because it has drawn us closer to Christ. And it's helped us to understand that we need His sustaining power to endure. This isn't a ministry that we were sent out to do just for decisions, just for numbers. It's the long game. It's endurance, to stand with Christ, to walk with Christ to the end, to be faithful followers of Christ among a culture that hates us for it, that opposes us, that despises us, ridicules us, right? And in some places we see that more often than not. So before I ask Lisa to come up and we go through this 21 years, which is hard to do, quite honestly, and we're not going to do that very well, we can just give glimpses of that 21 years. It's probably going to feel like a blur, a lot of different pictures, a lot of different people, but it's really meant to do that, to show you how much you have invested in people's lives, to elevate Christ, to make disciples, and to proclaim that great gospel that we treasure as we go as broken people, earthen vessels, right? Broken pots with this great message about a great Savior and Redeemer. So before I have Lisa come up, though, I just want to share a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At the end of the chapter, Paul is kind of defending his apostolic ministry because there are some false teachers in the church that are actually saying to the church in Corinth, don't follow this guy. His life is a mess. How can he be a man of God if he doesn't have this straight path? Right? We love straight paths. We love it when everything goes right. We like it when everybody's healthy. We like it when we have money. Oh, I'm getting serious now. I better slow down before we start preaching. We like everything to go right. We like everything to go straight. And then we know God is in this, right? Paul's ministry is a mess according to the world standard. And so he is defending that. And at the end here, this is where I want to talk about, because sometimes crooked paths, or let's say most of the time, crooked paths, God is in those too. And they're crooked for a reason. And Paul here at the end, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16, let me just read this. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul had this great grasp on trials, on hardships, and that he really showed in his life, demonstrated in his life, that faith is not thoroughly tried or tested except by long endurance. That is a quote to live by. That is a sentence to live by. Faith is not thoroughly tried or tested except by long endurance. It's easier to say you're a Christian when everything is easy. But when hardship comes, when trials come, oh, how many will just walk away, or in fact run away from that great Redeemer, because it's not worth it. So here is Paul, afflicted in every way, but not crushed, struck down, but not destroyed. He's, in fact, on the edge of death, and yet at the height of joy in Christ. And so as we celebrate, we don't celebrate with this glib joy here this morning with you. It's actually a very deep-rooted joy, because we know God is good, He is faithful, and He is with us, even through difficulties. And as we think about those that we are, in essence, leaving over these 20, 21 years, we would like you to continue praying for the church that you have invested in, Grace Point has invested greatly in, and none of that is wasted, right? It's not wasted, because God continues to do His work in the hearts of these people that we have all been allowed to touch, to be a part of. Their redemptive stories are intertwined with ours, and you've all been a part of that. So in verse 16, where he says we don't lose heart, I'm asking you to pray for the church to not lose heart. Right now, our region, Russia, Ukraine, Georgia, we call it Eurasia, Kazakhstan, Central Asia, it is in turmoil, mostly because of the ongoing war. People have been displaced, they have been moved, they're fleeing, and this is really affecting the churches You're going to hear some stories and just be reminded of the why people in the village, they are still struggling with their life and following Christ. So will you pray for the church, really just three things out of this text here, that God would continue renewing them day by day, even though their outer selves is decaying and the world is crumbling, falling apart around them? Will you pray that God will renew them day by day through God's Word, through His Holy Spirit, as He strengthens the church to live in this very day, in this very time of darkness all around them? Will you also pray that God would continue to prepare them for this eternal weight of glory? It's so interesting how Paul flips everything here. He says the afflictions are light and momentary, but it's the glory that is heavy and weighted and eternal, right? The two can't be compared, is what Paul says. But God is preparing us through these afflictions that we walk through, through the hardships, and right now for the church all across Eurasia, He is preparing them for the weight of the glory. I actually believe that that weight of the glory means the capacity to worship from the depth of knowing Christ, knowing who He is and knowing what He's done and knowing what He will do. The suffering, the afflictions are actually preparing us so that we have the capacity to worship Christ the way we ought. Lastly, will you continue to pray that God will keep their eyes fixed on the unseen, on the hope that is laid up for them. In fact, to the glory that will never fade, as Peter says. May they keep their eyes fixed on what they can't see, but what they know is coming, because God's goodness will not let those promises fail. God's goodness will not let those promises fail. So may God continue to use His church. Why? So that they can stand in the fire, in the trial, in the suffering, and be a testimony of who He is. So pray for the church in these ways so that they then proclaim Christ and the gospel to the world, to the nations, in fact. So will you pray in those ways, just continue praying for the church leaders, for the church, for us as well, of course, but this is really a prayer for all of us. Endurance. We need endurance so that we can point others to Christ, invest our lives knowing that God is going to do His work. Faith is not thoroughly tried or tested except by long endurance. And we're broken, we're weak, but when we're weak, Christ's strength comes through and shows itself to be glorious and sufficient in every way. So Lisa is going to come up and we're going to walk you through these slides. And again, with thankful hearts, with grateful hearts, for what we have done together, what Grace Point has done in investing in what we are doing together as an extension, I guess, of your ministry here across into Eurasia. This is really our way to say thank you, that we are very grateful for walking with us and standing with us, even through some hard things. We're probably not typical in that we come and get to share all these great numbers and things like that. Again, it's not about that. It's about depositing the gospel, depositing this message, investing in other people's lives for the sake of Christ.
So first, we just want to do a little bit of a family update. And this is our family when we left 21 years ago and we started. And actually, our youngest were the same ages as our oldest grandchildren are now. And so our daughter Allison and her husband Jake, you know well, as they're here, and Abby and Cameron, and we're just so thankful that we have the joy of living close to them right now. So,
what? You didn't stop this. Oh, sorry. Right, I wanted to say it's Allison standing in the shadows. Yeah, and Bethany looks just like Abby over there, a little beautiful little girl.
Okay. So we're just thankful that they're here local, and we have the joy of being close by to them. It is a balm for us, and we're just so grateful. And then our son Derek and his wife Aline and son Glenn are in Alaska, and they have had our newest grandson. September 17th, Ryan was born, and we're just very grateful for that precious gift, and we're looking forward to the day that we get to see him. And Matt and his wife Abby and son Titus and daughter Anya also live in Alaska. Both our boys made the move from LA to Anchorage this summer as they're studying with Master's Seminary at the Extension site there in Anchorage. And just thankful for God's direction in their life. And then our baby girl is Bethany, as you know, and she's in Charlotte and was married this year in July, and we're looking forward to celebrating their marriage in December, and just so thankful for God's goodness for them.
Yeah, so our path actually to Russia 20 years ago, or actually it's more, it actually goes back 25 years ago, from this church under a different name, Twin Orchards, sent us out in three different short-term trips to Far East Russia, and that is in fact where we moved to in 2003 with our kids. And that is the place where I was allowed to study full-time language school for 2 years to learn Russian, really to just learn the basics, the foundations of grammar. But the Lord really provided me with great teachers that excelled in different areas of learning language. One was very good at grammar, very proper St. Petersburg grammar. And then Victor, who is now with the Lord, he died of cancer soon after we actually moved away from there, was very good at conversational Russian. And the two of them didn't see eye to eye when he would use more slang terms with me. And she would be like, no, you don't say those things. But then another teacher that was all about Bible terms for me, teaching me how to speak from Scripture accurately and correctly so that I could preach and teach God's Word.
And that language school is at the Bible College, so we got to interact with students there. And we also had the opportunity to plug into a local church where Ken was able to do a weekly Bible study and teach and preach as one of his language teachers was attending that church. And we had the joy of those relationships still lasting. And the couple behind Ken's shoulder, she's in orange and he's in blue behind her, visit us actually in Lipetsk. And then they just most recently visited us just a couple weeks before we had to leave Georgia. And so that was just a really great blessing for us.
So after 2 years in Far East Russia and after experiencing some of the coldest temperatures we'd ever experienced, I mean, we're from upstate New York, right? We live an hour away, lived an hour away from here in Franklin, where we thought we knew what winter was. No. 40, 50 to below zero in those winters. And then the Lord took us to a more mild climate south of Moscow, to Lipetsk, about 11 time zones away on the western side of Russia.
And there, we were there by Pastor Boyce's invitation, who you see Ken with there, and he just really wanted help in training leaders and preparing men to serve and to know God's Word, and gave Ken lots of opportunities for that. And one of the first things that was able to be done is a picture there of graduates from Biblical Training Center that still is continuing to this day, that was set up in a modular fashion that would meet the needs of the locals there on the ground. And we're just so thankful for that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we first moved to Russia, a lot of the pastors, they would always ask me the same question. I didn't really know how to answer them because I didn't really know what they meant. But they said, what program do you have for us? I guess they've been conditioned. Missionaries would come over and give them some set program or something that they could replicate. And I said, I don't have a program. And then I find, oh, I know what I can say. I have 66 books in my program. Right? It's the Word of God. That was the program. And helping them to study it and teach it effectively, not just saying their own things. When I was in language school, I thought, when am I going to ever understand Russian sermons? When I finally did, I said, why do I understand these sermons? They were just away from the text, had no authority in them, although they felt like they had authority because they were saying it. But it wasn't in the text. It wasn't rooted in Scripture. And we just saw a great transformation by the Lord as we worked with men. There's a picture here of Pastor Sasha. I believe one of the better preachers in Russia at this point. He is so committed to the Scriptures and teaching it because of the authority that's in it. He has authority, right? It's not him. It's through the Scriptures. And we just saw God really take this young man to a point where we're so thrilled with how God is working through the church there in Lipetsk.
So not only was Ken able to work with the men in the church, but also and the regional pastors, but he gave opportunities in other things like deaf ministry. And that actually was something God used in a big way to solidify his Russian language, because Pastor Boyev was able to translate and he could speak in Russian and nobody heard if it was right or wrong as far as the language went. So it was just a huge blessing to allow his language to go deep. Also gave opportunity with foreign students. This is Nara from Mongolia, and we just were so thankful to be able to walk alongside daily life, do simple things as such as baking chocolate chip cookies or making bread and having them in our home. And, you know, it's hard to be a foreign student there, and she was a follower of Christ in a dark place in the dorms, and so had lots of questions and could walk alongside her and just encourage her in her daily walk with Christ, living out Christ every day of her life and others. And so that was really exciting to be able to do. We also had opportunity with family ministry, and a lot of the families that we worked with and that were there were first generation believers and Christian families, and they really had a heart and wanted to follow Christ and his word but didn't know how. And so they would bombard us with questions and just ask all kinds of things, including then even one was like, you guys are so perfect, you never argue in your family. And I was like, there's six people in our house? That's kind of impossible. But to what it was like to communicate and to forgive one another and to live out his word, the scripture, every day as these broken vessels that are being sanctified, right, through Jesus Christ and by his grace in amongst the family unit. And so we're just so thankful for that, and that his word has authority and we can follow it in our homes. And we can live Christ-centered by his mercy and grace. And so it's just a joy to do that and come alongside in camps and so forth.
Yeah, so as our time, I mean, retrospect, looking back, as the Lord opened up this opportunity to go to the village, we were really seeing Holy Trinity and the leaders really take positions and be equipped to carry on those ministries. And we were actually seeing that the Lord was kind of pushing us out on the outer sides of maybe Ken and Lisa don't need to be there anymore, which is exactly what we wanted to have happen. And the Lord did that at the same time as bringing a new opportunity before us. We were working with a local pastor. He was actually the trainer or the director of the Biblical Training Center. And he was visiting, I mean, he had a church in one city about an hour away from us, but he was visiting another hour away from us, these families that were non-Russians. And he, when he explained it to us, we're like, well, that's the first time I've heard that Russian word. We didn't know who they were. But when we figured it out, we realized that this was a diaspora of Middle Eastern people, Kurdish-speaking, not Russian-speaking, that were coming in and living in these villages trying to make a living. Some of them had documents, some of them didn't, some of them were there illegally, but they were moving into these small, very rural villages where there are way more sheep and cows than there are people, which we love. In fact, we're not urban people. So, and he was visiting these families. There was one family at the time that were followers of Christ, had put their faith in Christ, and he asked us to go with him. And so as we went with him, we were going once a week, 2 hours away. Then we were going twice a week, 2 hours away, then it's 2 hours back. We started drinking coffee. I'd never tried coffee I don't think you had. We were in our 40s, never tried coffee. And then we fell into it, right? Because the Y people, coming from the Middle East, they live on coffee. They fix Turkish coffee in these small little cups. And every time we went to visit a home, that's what we had to have. So we would go and visit two or three different homes in the evening, and we would be hyped on coffee, and then we'd go home 2 hours. So it worked out great. I mean, the Lord really brought us into that world of coffee in a great way. So in 2011, that's when we started visiting these families, and it expanded to more places. This pastor that we were working with, he actually ended up deciding to leave and to go to Samara, which is 14 hours away or so, to study at seminary. So he kind of left it in our laps. And the church that he was a part of, they really didn't want any part of this ministry. Sad, even to this day. So we started going there and realized that we really think the Lord is leading us to buy a property, to buy a home. So you see this picture here on top is the home as we bought it for $7,000, and then we did some renovating.
And so you can see that home was transformed from when it was first bought, and it actually then had running water inside as well. But what was really important was the transformation that Christ could make in people's lives. And in that other picture, it shows Ken teaching the truths of Christ's death, you know, how he came to this world to die, to go to the cross, and to rise again. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And these important truths in the village, to share that truth, to live that out among them. We knew when we went and we bought this house, actually, that we were buying that in a place of the most opposition. But that is where God led us to go, to be a light in the darkness, not because there's anything special about us, because we're, like Elizabeth Elliot likes to say, we're nobodies, but we are there to exalt somebody, because Christ is enough. And they needed to know who he is, and we wanted to share that with them. And so God gave us a great opportunity in the village to do that and to live among them.
Yeah, just a reminder of the Y people. They're from the Middle East. They have their own religion. They're not Muslim. They have a very strong conviction of their religion with their identity. So they're a people group that has no access to the gospel. There's nobody engaging them. There are no churches among them. So when we saw this opportunity, we knew this is where the Lord was leading us to, and just the timing of it all. And we were able to, and again, I'm saying this together, we were able to go and be a part of their lives. For the first time, they're able to see a Christian witness through camp, through gathering in homes. This was their exposure to the gospel. And we just are amazed that the Lord kept that door open for so many years.
And so camp, the first one was done in 2011, the first ever among them, which was amazing. We felt like every day we had was a miracle and a gift from God. And we're just so thankful to him. But with camp, like all year long then, the kids asked, when is camp? They wanted to go to camp. And it was so beautiful too, because not only would they come to camp, but their parents would come, the moms would come and stay, or the grandmas would come and stay and sit along the side, so that they were able to hear as well. And we could fellowship and have coffee, because coffee isn't about drinking coffee. Coffee is about fellowshipping together and spending time together. And we could have coffee and share together over that with them. And it was a beautiful thing. We were able to do Christmas programs. Those were some of our biggest events in the year that we did every year. And sometimes we had to change them for safety reasons, for us and for the believers. But God allowed that to continue, and to have a church where we were able to worship together. The bottom picture there is a very special picture. It's the last time we were able to gather together with them as a church family before we had to flee. And we're just so thankful because at that we worshiped in their language. We had worked over the years to not only worship in the language of Russian, but to have songs in their language. And the families helped us translate songs that we knew, or they knew there was someone they knew that had some language, their songs in their language, and helped us learn them. And all the songs we sang that day were in their language, and it was just a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, so as we went from house to house, we would have to change it up because of safety reasons. These were a people that had families who were ridiculing them, persecuting them. Some women were beaten because they would go to meetings. They would be told they have to stay at home because the husbands didn't allow them to go to these meetings. There were times where it was hotter than others, but just the lessons that they taught us as a people who were committed to Christ in the midst of that is just amazing. Again, I wouldn't trade it for anything. To walk with them was such a great privilege for us. We would go in their homes, we would gather people, we would sing, pray, read God's Word, study God's Word, and have fellowship. Very simple, right out of Acts. And we so felt like we were living in that book as we walked with this people. A very special time. And again, we didn't know how long we would have. When we had to leave, actually 2 years before 2019, the Lord really impressed on me, because of our situation, that we need to ground them in God's Word in the particular area of how to suffer well. And that's what we did for 2 years. That was basically the only scriptures we went to. We spent a lot of time talking about how to be a witness for Christ in the midst of these things. And we never knew how long we would have, how long that door would stay open. In 2019, just before we had to leave, I met and talked with an Iraqi believer who knew of the Y people in Iraq, which is where they originate from. And he asked me, you know, you're actually living among them? How long have you been there? And when I told him that, he's like, that's totally unheard of. Usually you're either driven out of town very quickly or worse. And he really emphasized the worse part, because they take the law into their own hands in these villages, and they just execute judgment on these people who are trying to force their way inside to their culture. And they really oppose anybody trying to convert them away from their own religion. But the Lord allowed us years to live life with them.
And it was in that daily life where we could walk out our walk with Christ. They would ask questions of how to do that. We were bombarded with questions there too, because their families ridiculed them, because if they're followers of Christ, shouldn't everything be easy? Shouldn't it get better? Shouldn't they be healthy and well all the time? And they were faced with hardships. Sometimes they didn't have enough food to put on their table, but they would still put food on the table as we were there and give their all, as the widow did, because they loved Jesus and they would trust him. And so they had questions, though, about the people that they loved. And so we were answering those all the time and taking them to his word every time, because God has answers for us in his word. We don't have answers. Ken and Lisa don't have answers, but God's word has answers. And to say Jesus is enough, we can walk by faith, step by step, trusting him. He is enough. He's sufficient. He is the sovereign one over all, and we can trust him. So really, we're able to link arms and journey with them so that they could continue to walk. It was really hard to leave. It's still hard to this day. But we know that God's with them, and we pray for the seed of his word that's been planted to grow a harvest, and that many of them, their whole families, in fact, that year before we had to flee, we were praying the prayer of whole families to come to Christ. And so that we're still trusting God to do his work. And as we had to leave, there was one girl that said, she didn't want us to go. It was heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. It still is. They asked, when are you coming back? But she said, maybe it's time. God wants us to stand on our own and trust Him. And He doesn't want us leaning on Ken and Lisa anymore. You know, we don't know all of the things of what God is doing, but we know that we can trust Him because He's sovereign and He's good and He's working out His plan for His glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the main lessons that we would always go to, and I really feel like this was the lesson that God was teaching us and continues to do that, is if you think about the book of Job, that whole deal that Satan set up, right, is to show that God's worth it. Following Christ is worth it. It doesn't matter what we lose. It doesn't matter what worldly things we gain. Many people think that you gain worldly things when you come to Christ, but it doesn't matter what you lose, because in the end, in all those losses that are around us, all the hardships, all the trials, it's worth it to follow Jesus because He is enough. He is sufficient. That is the lesson that God was teaching us over and over among these why people. And those were the questions they were asking us, because they were at the brink of saying, this isn't worth it. It's a lot easier to say, I don't follow this Jesus, because their life will get better. They'll have a better job. Their families will love them instead of ostracize them. They won't be beaten anymore. Isn't it worth it to just say, forget it? But to see in them that, no, it's worth it to follow Jesus, because He died for me and He rose again so I could be forgiven and brought into God's family. So God taught us so many lessons and is continuing to teach us so many lessons. All of a sudden, I'm frozen. We're not going anywhere. But we'll just continue. So after we left, we had some time of regrouping, and the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to go to Georgia, the country of Georgia. Right next to Atlanta is another country. No. And so we were there for just a year. It was a new role, another new season for us to... I was the director of expansion for the unreached in Eurasia. So we were looking for new places. We were exploring where could we put new people to serve, to build churches, to make disciples. And we were exploring the country of Georgia, beautiful country, mostly mountainous. We loved it and just saw so many opportunities all across Russia, or all across Georgia, which is a small little country, but is a crossroads to so many ethnicities and unreached peoples, even from the Caucasus Mountains, coming out of Russia, that live along there. And the Lord gave us some opportunities really right away, even.
Yeah, so right away we were able to teach English in a village of Chechens. They were called the Keith people. That's the Georgian name for Chechens. And it was just a tremendous opportunity. We were so thankful. It actually, for us, was like going home, because it was village. It had a lot of similarities to village life. A lot of things in their culture were very similar. So we were able to understand a lot of things as they shared about their lives and their culture. We taught English during the day, and then in the evenings, Ken would go with the men to visit different men. I would go with the ladies to visit ladies and children in the home and have tea in those different places to build relationships. And that was a great joy. They knew we were believers, and so that gave us opportunities. And the cool thing was, like, we were exploring to see different opportunities God would have. And we chose this place because it's right along the border of the Caucasus of southern Russia there, of the peoples. Well, we were in these villages with the Kist. They have relatives across that border. And one of the homes I was in, the next day, one of the women was leaving to go across that border to visit her family. And so it was a place where you could get into easily in Georgia, but reach into places that were really hard to get to and almost right now impossible. Mm-hmm. And so we were just really thankful for this. And with that exploration, we were able to go to the Azerbaijan-Dagestan border. We were able to go to the Armenian-Turkish borders. We were able to go to the Russia border and see peoples from all over, of unreached, of Svan, of Ossetian, of Azeri, of all kinds of different people, including then Georgians and Russians and even Europeans as we hiked. So it was really incredible the number of people we were able to come across.
Yeah, so one of the bigger adjustments for going to Georgia from Russia was that there were other organizations there. There were other expats there. Very odd for us. We worked in places where there were no other missionaries, no workers. But there were quite a few, and in fact, the Lord used us even in that, because quite a few had been coming from places where they were kicked out or denied access as they tried to return to, like, the Caucasus Mountains. In Russia, a whole group of people were just recently kicked out, and they were all coming to Georgia. And so we were able to come alongside them and just walk through that with them, listen to them, because we very much understood what that meant. And so the Lord allowed us to do that, and then just also come alongside some other workers that were, they're also in hard places, and just be an encouragement to them and see some of the things that they were doing among, like, the Azeri people and so on.
And then an opportunity came, as you know, with Afghanistan. There's all that happened while some of the refugees were in Georgia, and God allowed us to come into contact with them and be able to minister to them, which was, for me personally, just really cool, because it's something I had always desired to be able to do, was minister among refugees. I thought it would be a different people group, but brought me in contact with this woman and her family, knowing what she'd just gone through. We had to flee. It wasn't the same. It wasn't under war when I fled. But I was able to understand where she was coming from and walk alongside her and grieve with her and share Christ's hope with her, because there's hope in Jesus Christ. He changes lives. And so we were just thankful to be able to have that opportunity. Had opportunity to walk alongside one that's involved in an international school, wanting to minister to English speakers and expand that ministry, and just at a time needing encouragement. So some of the different things in Georgia were for such a time as this. It was short, but as we left, it was so difficult, because those relationships, even though a year, went very deep. And so it was a very hard goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even as this chapter, I don't think it's the last chapter, but a chapter closes, right? Then you open up a new chapter. But, of course, we're asking you to keep praying for the leaders, for the churches, for the Y people, for the war in Ukraine, which is affecting so many people right now, so many families. But thank you. It's hard to cover this 21 years in a few pictures, but thank you. You have been a part of these people's lives, and it's very meaningful for us to have partners who love us, partners who care for us, partners who have stood with us for two decades to be involved in this work overseas, that in places where, there's so little access to the gospel, leaders that have zero training, zero access to that, and together we've been allowed to be a part of God's kingdom work, and we're just very thankful. We're going to move to a 4-minute video to close this out, and so Stan's going to take control of the screen for me here, and again, this is a blur of things, probably a blur of pictures, but really just shows the amount of people that the Lord allowed all of us to touch and be a part of, and it's just, again, we're grateful for how you've loved us so well and how you've been a part of this ministry as well. So thank you.
Dawn to setting sun, Your greatness I'll proclaim, but your glory far exceeds all human thought. So with each breath I'll bless your name, oh God. Your name will be revealed by children yet to come, as generations sing of wonders you have done. Your strong and mighty deeds are always near. Oh God, most high, your name will be revealed. How great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. How great is the Lord our God. How great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Your gracious hand provides for all who live and breathe. Your mercy runs to find the helpless and the weak. When we call out to you, you hear our cries, and all our needs your gracious hand provides. How great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. How great is the Lord our God. How great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Forever without end, creation will rejoice. When works of wicked men you finally destroy, your power will proclaim until Christ descends, and you will reign forever without end. How great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Closing the word of prayer today. Heavenly Father, I pray for us as a church that we would take these stories, we would take these events, and we would continue to be impacted by it. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of something on the other side of the world, just by supporting. And there are people who have heard the news of Jesus Christ, and their lives are changed. And we thank you for using us in even just in such a small way. Father, I pray for the why people, that they're just trying to stand on Christ alone. And I thank you for the work that you did with Ken and Lisa there, but I pray now that you would continue to provide leadership, to provide teaching, to provide strength as they go through even a difficult time in a village where the leader of the village is really against them, against Christianity, and setting up things and making it difficult. And I pray that you would provide in great, unparalleled ways. Lord, I pray for the church that is over there, the church in Georgia, I pray for those who are not yet reached, and I ask that you would continue to provide other believers who have this same vision of making disciples, of getting your word out. And Lord, I pray for you to provide clarity for Ken and Lisa as they are looking for what is next. They've got some short-term steps figured out, but I pray that you would continue to give them clarity and guidance for whatever steps you have in the future. And I know often you just give us guidance for the short term, not for the rest of our lives all the time. But I just ask you to continue to use them in really great ways. So Father, thank you for your great love for us, for providing us a good example of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would continue to be faithful as your church in reaching out to people, sharing our testimony, sharing our faith in Jesus with others. And I pray that you would be the one that makes the changes in us and in others around through your gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming, church. We'd love to see you. You are dismissed. Have a great day. And if you get a chance, say hi to the Zooks on your way out. Thanks for watching online.